Thank you, Doris. Each Sunday, our children collect food donations to provide food for those in need. We invite the children to sit up front afterwards for the Time for All Ages presentation before going to their educational classes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rachel White, and I'm the Director of Religious Education here at UUCF. And this morning, we're going to be reading a story, We Gather Together, by Wendy Pfeiffer and Linda, last name starts with a B. Linda Black. During early autumn in the northern part of the earth, chipmunks pack their cheeks full of seeds to store in underground burrows. Red fox pups hunt for rodents and fruit to eat, then bury leftovers to dig up when food is scarce. Beavers store twigs and sticks underwater to chew when ice covers their pond. As the sun appears lower in the southern sky each day, the sun rises later each morning and sets earlier each evening. Days grow shorter, the nights cooler, and the growing season ends. Time to prepare for winter. Black bears gobble honey, grubs, fruits, and roots, building layers of fat for the cold days ahead. Different seasons are caused by the tilt of the earth as it moves around the sun, and you can see that happening in the picture right there. When the northern part of the earth tilts toward the sun, the north gets lots of sunshine, and it's summer there. When the northern part of the earth tilts away from the sun, the north gets less sunshine, and it's winter. Between summer and winter, around September 21st, the sun crosses the equator and shines equally on both sides, both the northern and southern parts of the earth. On that day in the northern part of the world, summer ends and autumn begins. Day and night have equal hours all over the world. For many, the autumnal equinox signals a time to harvest crops. When autumn arrives, days are cooler, plants can no longer make the food that they need, and the growing season ends. Time to gather in the crops. Fruits and vegetables that ripen by autumn must be harvested before the winter's freezing weather destroys them. 300,000 years ago, no one knew how to plant seeds to produce a bountiful harvest. Cave dwellers picked berries, collected nuts, dug roots, and gathered wild plants. Winters were hard for them. They had to live on what they gathered and stored in the fall. About 10,000 years ago, where Syria and Turkey are today, tribes learned to grow wheat and barley from seeds. How exciting it must have been to plant one seed and produce a stalk with many. 8,000 years ago in Egypt, people discovered the warm climate was perfect for farming. The Nile River provided water, and once each year its floodwaters deposited rich, black, fertile soil on both sides, plants grew in abundance. Gradually, farming spread to Asia. About 5,000 years ago, people grew food in a crescent-shaped area where Iraq is now. The Tigris River and small streams that fed it turned valleys into a fertile crescent of rich farmlands. Each autumn, in many lands, men, women, and children worked all day and even at night under the light of a bright harvest moon. They cut rice, threshed wheat, and gathered bundles of barley. A good harvest meant plenty of food to eat in the fall and more to store for days when food was scarce. Time to rejoice and have fun after hard, back-breaking work. Over the centuries, people celebrated plentiful harvests and passed down traditions at different times, in different places, and in different ways. All over the world, harvest celebrations from the past are still being carried on today. People in southern India have celebrated Pongal, a four-day rice festival, for over 2,000 years. On the first day, they decorate their front doors with rice flower designs and give thanks to the rain gods. On the second day, they cook pongal, a sweet rice pudding, and offer some to the sun god. The people of Japan have held rice festivals for about 2,000 years. In spring, girls dressed in kimonos plant rice while musicians play bells, drums, and flutes. In summer, they hold a lantern festival to express their joy as the rice ripens. When fall comes, they celebrate the rice harvest with parades and a dragon dance. During their moon viewing ceremony, people sing while watching shadows on the full moon. Many think the shadows show a rabbit making rice cakes. For over 700 years, Nigerians have held a fall festival to give thanks for yams, the first crop harvested. On the night before the festival begins, the festivities begin, the old wrinkled yams are thrown out. Bountiful harvests have been celebrated since earliest times. People all over the world still celebrate a fruitful year of farming with fun, feasts, and festivals. They enjoy corn, rice, yams, apples, pumpkins, cranberries, and other fruits and vegetables of the harvest season. Autumn, with its brilliant colors and delicious gifts of nature, offers friends and family a time to gather and give thanks for all their blessings.
I invite you now, if you do have a brief personal joy or sorrow, something that is personally being held in your heart and on your mind, I invite you to come forward and share that at this time.
Dennis and I are grateful and relieved that our daughter-in-law, Katie, has made it back safely from Afghanistan, where she was doing a 10-day assignment for her humanitarian organization. And we're very proud of her, but we're also very relieved.
I have several joys. I want to thank Christina and Jim Garner for hosting the Swedish feast event, which was fabulous, just a couple of weeks ago. And thank you. Where is Christina? She's right in front of me, isn't she? There she is. Hi, Christina. Thank you so much. I know she had some help with Randy from Randy. And just last night, Debbie and Harry Legenbacher gave us a fabulous 1920s. Thank you, Debbie. 1920s event and dinner, and it was absolutely wonderful. I just want to encourage everybody to participate in the auction event come February because of that. My third joy is I am organizing festive Fridays. Used to be Foreign Foods Fridays. Now it's Festive Foods Friday. And we're going to Centro Basco, Basque Restaurant in Chino Hills this Friday at 6:30. I hope you'll join us. Come meet me in the social hall. Sorry, I hijacked that last. I like the professorial look.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Gayla Eakin. And while Reverend Jason was out on his break, I had the opportunity to visit two of my friends. I went to church with two of my friends, two different churches, and it made me really, I already appreciate my church here, my church family and everything, but it really made me like go, wow, I wouldn't go to church if I had to go to their churches. Well, that was harsh, but I don't It really made me, I already appreciate everybody here and coming here every week. And it was a good opportunity to go to two different churches while Reverend Jason was on break, but I'm really happy to be here.
Good morning, Gary Daniels. Last Sunday, we had the opportunity with the Sunshine Singers to go out and sing for the family of Randy Hetrick and Howard and their children. It was a wonderful opportunity to share music and fellowship with people who sometimes are not able to make it to church. And we'd like to put that out there, that it's available to anyone that you may know who would benefit from music and fellowship. Sadly, I have to announce that my father-in-law, Edwin Burnett, passed this week. So if you could keep us in your hearts. Remember the greatest generation.
Hi, my name is Brian, if you haven't met me yet, and this is my wife, Caitlin. We're fairly new here. We have a brief sorrow. For quite some time, we've been living in a very toxic living situation, and in order to escape, our only viable alternative was to buy a cargo van and outfit it to live in. If anybody would be able to assist us in any way, if you live close to the city of La Mirada, that would be really great, but we'd appreciate seeing you after the service.
In terms of being able to park in a driveway or something like that, just so that we don't have to be always wondering, is someone to come knock on the door in the middle of the night? So far, this is our first week anniversary of doing this, and so far we've been pretty lucky, and we've been very safe, and it's been such a relief. Really has been very good for us, but we just wanted to kind of let you guys know where we're at, and if anyone does have any ability to help us with parking or something, that would be great. Yeah.
Brian and Caitlin have been members here for about 6 months now, and so if you do have some place where they could maybe park, I think that would be on a little more permanent basis than they are now. That would be really, really helpful to them. So thank you guys for saying it. Yeah. As always, we know there is much need in our community. We have need right here within that I hope somebody will be able to help with. But then there are also all those unspoken things that remain on our hearts and in our minds, the things that aren't spoken in this room today, the people who are struggling with whatever they might be struggling with. So I ask us to keep that in mind as we engage with one another and continue to build, nurture, and nourish this community. Today we will be having a bit of an extended meditation and reflection time in respect to the autumn equinox. And I begin with a reflection from the Reverend Meg Riley. It's the autumn equinox, a day of balance, a day when summer gives way formally to fall, even though the leaves have been a dead giveaway of what's coming for a few weeks now in Minnesota. Not for us here, so we need to remember what happens in the rest of the world. Right? A day when light and dark balance each other just right in some way, with light and tilt of earth that I can't quite call up right now. And maybe you can stand an egg on its head. It's a day of balance. And I am off balance. I learned that an old friend committed suicide on Monday. She was an old friend, a housemate when I was in my 20s, someone I ran into and caught up with occasionally. We would not have gotten on an airplane to find each other, but we held each other's histories. We kept up when it worked. There was distance between us. Yet I feel in my bones this morning how distance is not the same as separation. There is no separation from grief or loss. This morning, when I woke up with that sore tooth feeling, I knew that somehow I need to knit my universe back together to hold together the place where she apparently is no longer on the same planet that I am on, to reconstitute the atoms and molecules in some way that is complete without her. The people from my friendship group at that time are finding each other over miles and years, retrieving scraps of our lives with her, laying them out next to each other like a quilt. There is healing in this. My bruised tenderness this morning is my recognition of the interconnectedness of thousands and thousands of lives over time. May we all know, even in our moments of brokenness, that we are connected and that each one of us matters profoundly.
We are bound to each other in a vast network of care and connection no less complex or choreographed than the planets and the stars. Our orbits, our cycles, the shapes of our constellations fixed for each other's eyes over light years in the night sky. So this is my equinox prayer for us. May we know the depth and width of the patterns that hold us today. May we recognize the preciousness of each atom that by being right where it needs to be, creates balance and stability and wholeness. May we be awed by the sheer beauty and the wholeness of it all. I invite you to close your eyes, if you choose. Plant your feet on the floor. Sit back in your chair and take a breath. Here we sit in this moment, in the balance of light and dark, day and night, for a moment floating in the sands of time, in a way that can offer us balance. It's not easy to find balance in today's world. It's not easy when we turn on the news or our computers or look at our phones and we see all kinds of things going on. It's hard to know who to trust, what voices are telling the truth, what facts there are to find in the midst of stories and loud voices. And yet we know that at the center of all of this chaos, the stories of immigrant children being detained, separated from families, the stories concerning stories of the rise of authoritarianism across the globe, the evidence of overt racism right here in our own backyards, high school children who don't flinch at anti-Semitic demonstrations. All these things we carry in our hearts and on our minds. And it can be hard to feel like we have footing.
Let us consider in a moment of silence what it means to find balance together. Balance as we take deep breaths in the knowledge that we are not alone in our search for equanimity. We are held by the four winds, the north, the south, the east, and the west, as we consider the state of our world today. Let us consider it with those deep breaths and with our feet firmly planted on the ground.
Wrong is going on, and oh, why can't
So I'm not naturally a particularly physical person, someone who's just inherently in touch with his own body. For most of my life, my body has just kind of been there, sometimes an impediment in its limitations, and sometimes a vessel I was somewhat grateful for, but rarely something that felt truly part of me. So a few years ago, in an effort to take better care of my health and get in better shape, and though I didn't think of the word at the time, but it fits today, to get my life in balance between my head and my body, I sought out for the first time the services of a personal trainer. Now, he was pretty much the exact opposite of me, one of those types who lived for fitness. Hard to imagine him in anything but workout gear. He had a private gym connected to his home where he displayed giant frame photos of himself from fitness magazine covers. I didn't feel exactly at home. But it wasn't long before he had me doing all those things I'd glimpsed at the gym but had no idea why people did them. Sit-ups on top of a giant rubber ball with a weight pressed to my chest, or rolling a wheel across the ground while I crunched in my abdominal muscles. Most of it felt like torture, but I dutifully did what he asked, except for one key thing. I wasn't breathing. Every time I tried to balance the weights in my hands or balance my body in whatever pretzel-like position the personal trainer asked me to do, I'd stop breathing. Breathe, he'd shout at me, and I would try, but it felt so wrong. After the second session played out in the same way, I found myself in the car driving home and wondering why it felt so wrong to breathe. Why did I hold my breath in those moments of exertion? It had something to do with control, I decided, and focus. In the back of my mind, I was holding on to some idea that I didn't have enough focus, enough control to both breathe and balance the weight at the same time. I can't do both, I remember thinking. And of course, that's where I was wrong. Because not only can I do both, but I need to do both, breathe and balance, or breathe to balance. The personal trainer was right. Once I was breathing properly, breathing at all, pulling in air as I relaxed my muscles, releasing air as I exerted my muscles, I began to make progress. And in another metaphor for life, I think, he would surreptitiously increase the weights I was working with, and I never knew. I just had to breathe and balance, and eventually, without even realizing that I was carrying more and more weight, I grew stronger. But when I did figure it out, I gave him a talking to, I will tell you that. Like, why does this keep getting harder? Finding this balance, carrying more than I thought possible, all came from learning how to breathe. So what does that mean for our lives? So just the other day, I was back here in the office with our office administrator, and a member of the temple came in to give us an update on the seemingly endless construction process going on here. The conversation quickly turned to the current state of the country. And in a long monologue, this person expressed his wonder and shock at everything from children kept in cages to the elimination of protection that lets immigrants remain in the country and avoid deportation while they or their relatives receive life-saving medical treatments, to the rise of white nationalist thought and racist ideology that our leadership seems loath to firmly publicly denounce. So I noticed two things during this monologue. One, that I agreed with all of his outrage and criticisms. And two, that he didn't take a single breath while he was delivering it. No breaths. No oxygen. I don't disagree with his sentiments. I just wondered how far we can get in crafting effective responses if we don't have oxygen. A couple of weeks ago, I told this congregation that our culture has unwittingly traded innovation for outrage. When we should have been getting creative, when we should be nurturing what's generative, we've been caught up in being angry. I think we forgot to breathe somewhere in there.
When I was first inspired by the autumn equinox for the service, the time of balance of day and night, I didn't expect I would be talking about breathing. I thought reflecting on balance would yield a more complicated formula for getting our lives into a place where we could better hold all that we needed to. But upon reflection, it's come down to something simple, breathing. And maybe that's fitting, given the inspiration. After all, for those who have historically acknowledged the autumn equinox, it was in the noticing of the balance of dark and light that meaning was found. Paying attention to the changes of the seasons, of the ways in which nature invites us to slow down and consider change in our own lives and within ourselves. The period of breathing and noticing is a form of mindfulness. Buddhist meditation and mindfulness teacher Sharon Salzberg says that balance begins with resting our attention on the feeling of the breath. Classical balance is usually talked about as between tranquility and energy, Sharon says. I used to use images a lot in my own practice just to kind of sense holding something very fragile, very precious, like maybe an object made of glass in my hand. Now, if I were to grab it too tightly, it would shatter and break. But if I just got lazy and negligent, my hand would fall open and it would fall off and break. So I have to cradle it. I stay in touch with it. I cherish it. That's how we have to be with our breath. This spiritual practice can keep us from being overrun with anxiety, anger, or grief. Of course, the word balance has other associations too. In 2017, Fox News finally dropped their fair and balanced slogan. But most of us remember the use of this motto, which certainly stretched, in my opinion, both those words beyond reasonable interpretations of their definitions. That's my opinion. When we hear that something is balanced, traditionally, we have expected there to be a certain emphasis on hearing multiple sides to an argument given equal weight and time. Of course, that's really not the business of any television news these days, wherever they fall on the political spectrum, I should say, most television news. And perhaps in these times, balance is not always achieved by hearing multiple sides. I think there are social ills, how we have been dealing in this country with immigrant children, for instance, where a panel discussion of those who think it's okay and those who don't isn't necessary. We don't need a roundtable discussion about why those who espouse white nationalist ideology might be okay or not. We're already where we are in history. We've been through the abuses of the Industrial Revolution. We know that workers need certain rights protected. We've been through the Civil Rights Movement, Stonewall, Roe versus Wade already. No need to revisit those things as though the other side still has a legitimate case, any more than we need to revisit the discussion on slavery to determine whether it's good or bad. We've come too far as a human race to waste our energy on moral questions that have been essentially settled. The better use of our balancing energy would be in not allowing those who we disagree with to heighten our emotions to the point where we are off kilter. Because when we truly find balance, when we are not seduced by old arguments that really only serve to try and throw us off balance, when we are steady, we can lift something. That's the thing I discovered with my own body in those sessions with a personal trainer. Until I was balanced, until I could breathe, I couldn't really lift anything. We need balance in our lives so that we can lift our lives. So what do I mean by lift? I briefly spent some time in a small workshop with the famous acting coach Estella Adler before she died. And I remember doing a monologue for her, feeling like I did a perfectly respectable job. I was probably 18 at the time. And Stella thought it was perfectly respectable too, but respectable isn't enough. "Lift it, darling," she said. And I had no idea what she meant. But I heard her say that to other people that day, "Lift it, darling." And eventually I realized what she meant was that it wasn't just enough to portray real life in our acting. We were looking for something more. There's no point to being on stage if you're trying to just replicate so-called real life. The point is to lift it, to bring another layer of meaning to it. I think this is true off stage as well. We can all just live. We can eat and sleep and go through our daily routines. But what does it mean if we're striving to lift our own lives, our own thoughts, up to a new and different level? And what would it mean if we lifted each other up too in that process? If our lives are unbalanced, if we're always running around, living in a whirlwind of anxiety, anger at all the injustices, upset because we can never do enough, then we never even get to that lifting stage. And we never create anything new, generative. Now, I love Unitarian Universalism because it's really all about lifting. We've never settled on what's been given to us by the larger culture historically, whether it was the theology of the times or beliefs about the roles of women or the disabled or people of color. We've always tried, and sometimes that process has been really, really hard, but we've tried to lift ourselves and society up along the way. And we do that by finding our balance together, by not leaning so far in any one direction that we no longer have room for all those who feel called to be here in this room. Now, consider the emails I got this past week in response to the series of sermons on the Bible that we will occasionally return to throughout this year. And I knew this was coming, so it's all good. I received one email from someone saying they had not been happy about the service, the series, but they now appreciated the framing. Four emails from those who were delighted by the series and felt that biblical literacy was really important right now. Two who were considering, understandably because of their own baggage with this, staying away during those services. And one who was so moved by the service, they are considering pursuing ministry. So what do we do with all of that, right? Is there room here for all those responses? I think so. I believe so. And I am grateful for the diversity of those responses, though I won't lie and say it's not a delicate balancing act a lot of the time. But I believe this is what Unitarian Universalism is about as a community. We are forever doing these slow and careful movements of breathing through our differences and anxieties, leading us more toward a place of balance. After all, most who come here at a point in their lives, they come here because their lives are out of balance. It might be a loss that brings them here, a tragedy. Maybe they just looked at the news headlines that day and they felt like they couldn't take it anymore. They needed something. They feel like their lives are too much of one thing, and maybe it's work or conflict or loneliness, and not enough of other things. And so whether we use that word or not, we often find our way to congregation like this because we want more balance in our lives. And we give that to each other through learning how to take a breath and acknowledge what's important to us, what concerns us, what moves us. We take a moment to greet our neighbor. We pause and laugh at the children during our Time for All Ages moment. We sing together. Balance. It's what this church experience is trying to bring us all. Because when we are balanced, both individually and collectively, we can do the heavy lifting. We can begin to think about creative solutions. We can make changes to the way we do things that have ripple effects in the lives of others. And I'm hoping this church year will find some creative ways in this community to do that, to create that ripple effect. Being balanced all starts within oneself. It starts with you. But the goal is actually to be able to be stronger and more confident so you can send love out into the world to make a real difference. So it's the autumn equinox, time of balance. So let's take a breath right now, together. I invite you to pull that air in, fill your lungs with that air, and then let it out slowly. That collective breath we are sharing. I invite you to go into the days ahead with thoughtfulness, with care, taking those deep breaths to help you find your equilibrium. Because when we have that for ourselves, then we also have something, we also have a gift to give others.
Our offering is a vital way that we show our gratitude for this community. By giving to UUCF, we know that this community of caring will continue to do its good work in the world, and we thank you for your generosity. Once a month, UUCF shares half of the offertory with the local charity. This month it will be NAMI.
Closing song, please join us in singing Imagine. You may rise in mind, body, or spirit. If you try.
We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Would you please join hands for our closing words? We release the North, the South, the East, and the West. We are grateful for the gentle winds that have helped us to find balance today. May we carry that balance out into our lives and into the world, and may we spread the love that we are able to grow from that. Until we meet again, amen, shalom, salam, namaste, and blessed be. Go now in peace.